Good morning. I'd ask you all, we're going to start the meeting. This is the business meeting of the Judicial Council of California for June 22nd, 2012. This is the continuation of our day and a half, two-day council session. The meeting is now in session. We welcome all of you back. I am not going to go over the reminder about audiocast, about making sure that you speak into your microphones and address each other by name so that people following our meeting will be able to understand and track our conversations, and that these are later videotaped for the California Court News on our website. Our agenda has changed because we have continued over from yesterday two items. We'll start with those. I'd also like to plant in council's mind that we would like everyone to make their plane today without rescheduling. So keep that in mind as we move through some of our less controversial agenda items. So we'll start then with item I from yesterday, the Judicial Administration Report from Jody Patel, Interim Administrative Director of the Courts. This is not an action item. And we also have Kurt Soderlund joining, Interim Chief Deputy Director. Thank you.
Good morning, Chief Council members. Thank you. For my report, I want to first start with this will be a presentation that focuses in on what the AOC has done in the current fiscal year to achieve its budget reductions and our plan, if you will, to meet the reductions for the 12-13 fiscal year. But I want to start off just a little bit with a bit of history. In the past 14 years, since trial court funding, the AOC has seen its responsibilities, functions, tasks, and staffing levels increase, as you heard yesterday. Prior to 1998, as you know, the counties were responsible for a variety of different activities on behalf of the trial courts, from legal services to HR to fiscal facilities, you name it. After the passage of the Trial Court Funding Act in 1998, the need for the AOC to provide greater levels of service to the courts increased, and particularly for the small and medium courts. At the direction of the council, the AOC responded after trial court funding to meet the challenges and to build a statewide administrative infrastructure for the judicial branch. As you all know, I'm a big believer in reengineering. That's something in every organization I go to, I focus in on continuous improvement and taking a look at how we do business. And I believe there's a need for government to engage in continuous improvement and identify efficiencies at all levels of government. So with that, last September, as a result of our multi-year budget reductions in the judicial branch, I was appointed to lead a internal review of AOC operations to identify realignment and cost savings opportunities. When I was appointed as the interim administrative director in February, at the direction of the Chief Justice, the executive team and I fast-tracked the reorganization efforts.
And if I could just interject for the benefit of the new members, as an example of some of those changes that started to take place back in 2002, as an example, was the movement towards having the courts get off the county systems onto what is now known as the Phoenix system for accounting and payroll function. So there's been a transition over a period of time where the AOC, in support of the trial courts, has taken over those accounting and payroll functions. All 58 courts are on the financial part of Phoenix at this point in time, and there's 7 courts on the payroll system because of the budget situations. We had to suspend the payroll deployments at this juncture, but that's an example for the benefit of the new members of the transitions that have been taking place.
Thank you, Kurt. My presentation today will focus on 4 specific areas. Reviewing Judicial Council AOC budget reductions, particularly as I indicated for the current fiscal year and then the plan for next year. Reviewing and realigning and cost-saving measures that we've implemented. I will share with the council exactly how we have achieved our budget reductions, and then the next steps for evaluating areas for further reorganization and efficiencies. And all of these are geared towards ensuring that the AOC can continue to provide a good customer service to all of our branch entities, as well as focus on transparency and accountability. This chart reflects the budget reductions that the Judicial Council AOC has faced over the last four fiscal years. In the 2008-2009 fiscal year, we had a one-time reduction. We had several one-time reductions that year in the branch for the trial courts, courts of review, as well as AOC and HCRC. Our share was about $4.7 million. In 9-10 and 10-11, as the fiscal situation continued to worsen, our reduction was increased to $10.263 million, and it stayed at that level for the 9-10 as well as the 10-11 fiscal year. Then in the current fiscal year, our Judicial Council AOC reduction increased to $13.4 million, which basically was a cumulative reduction of $23.7 million in the current year. And the way that we achieved our reductions and operationalized the reductions was through cost savings, through consolidation of certain activities and divisions, identifying efficiencies, and staffing reductions. I wanted to share this chart. You all have seen our pie chart of the judicial branch budget before, but the off-white slice of the pie chart, as you can see at the bottom of the screen there, reflects the Judicial Council AOC budget for the current fiscal year, and it represents about 3.9% of the entire judicial branch budget. The lion's share of our branch budget is at the trial court level at almost 82%. What I want to focus on a little bit is the current fiscal year. The blue bar on the left reflects the $13.4 million reduction that the council and AOC faced in the current year. The bar on the right, the multicolored bar, I want to walk you through and break down how we achieved our reductions. Starting with the base of that multicolored bar, the red box on the bottom, $3 million. That was our savings that we realized as a result of our continuing furloughs, AOC staff and the Courts of Review staff continue to have a one-day per month furlough. And just to give you a little bit of history there, our furlough started in January of 2009. For the first 6 months of our furlough program, it was not a mandatory program. It was a voluntary program. However, we were very, very proud and pleased of the fact that a majority of our employees raised their hand for the voluntary program. For that six-month period, the way our program was structured in as a trade-off for the one-day per month furlough, the staff did receive a one-day off personal leave, if you will. But effective July 1 of 2009, our voluntary furlough program, because of the worsening budget situation, we had to make that a mandatory furlough program. This is our third year of mandatory furlough, one day per month. We, at this point in time, because our budget reductions have increased, and a week ago, the Judicial Council AOC was informed that we will be facing an added $15 million reduction. So at this point in time, we will continue the mandatory furloughs for our employees for the fourth straight year. The green box reflects the savings, $648,000, from our first voluntary separation incentive program that we initiated in October of 2011. The blue box, $1.976 million, was realized through the elimination of some positions that had remained vacant at the AOC for about 14 months or longer. And so those are the savings from that activity. The largest box is the off-white colored box, $5.956 million. We achieved these savings through a reduction in our operating expense line item, part of our budget. And the executive team was extremely instrumental in every division taking a step back, looking at all of their different expenditures. And everything and anything went on the table, and our executive team was able to identify almost $6 million in savings in our operating expense budget. And this includes reductions in education programs, elimination of some education programs, equipment maintenance, IT licenses, IT support, travel reimbursements, cell phone reimbursements, and a slew of other things. The last box, $1.866 million, reflects our agency-wide savings in reduced rent costs. What we have been focusing in on is renegotiating some of our leases. Our Office of Court Construction Management has been very instrumental in renegotiating our leases in our Sacramento offices, in the Northern Central Regional Office to realize savings. Then with our Office of Governmental Affairs, for those of you that have been at that office, it's located on the 7th floor in downtown Sacramento of the building. We moved them to the 12th floor, and you would think as you move higher up in a building, the rent would be more expensive, but it wasn't. We moved OGA into a smaller office space with significant savings that we realized there. And then we've also realized some savings in our Burbank office. And all of that adds to $1.866 million in the current fiscal year. Now, I do want to note that these savings do not carry over automatically into the 12-13 fiscal year, and I'll give you an example of why, one quick example. The $3 million in savings from our mandatory furlough program, because the AOC has been engaged in downsizing our organization with a reduced number of staff, next year we anticipate our savings from our furlough program will decrease from $3 million to roughly $2.5 million or a little bit less than that. So achieving and meeting our savings reductions continue to be a challenge, and the executive team, Kurt and I, continue to have meetings and discussions about how we can successfully achieve all of the reductions and continue to provide the support that the courts in our branch critically need, because the courts are also downsizing, and we fully realize that. As I indicated earlier, last September, my team and I in the Northern Central Regional Office started taking a look at an internal reorganization of the AOC. And in December, we provided our executive office with our preliminary response. But then in February, we, at the direction of the Chief Justice, we began working with the executive team to really fast-track a lot of the changes that we felt needed to be made to manage our reductions and achieve efficiencies. And I want to walk you quickly through some of those. This isn't an all-inclusive list by all means. Our first action after I took over as interim director, we initiated our second voluntary separation incentive program that resulted in a decrease of 30 full-time employees that raised their hand and said, we will separate and walk away here. We also took a hard look at all of our agency temps, our contract employees, and since January of this year, we have reduced those numbers, the temporary employees by 40, contract staff by 41. Our team continues to look at all of the temp help and contract staff, and we continue to identify reductions in those areas. We merged as a result of the council's difficult decision at the end of March, merged our CCMS PMO division with our IS division, and centralized our technology resources, and that allowed us to reduce staffing in those areas as well. We placed the community corrections program that's headed up by Shelley Curran under the executive office. We felt that that was a way for us to achieve efficiencies. With that consolidation redirection underneath the executive office, we also placed with Shelley all realignment activities in the branch. And we feel that that's a really, really important move, because we fully realize that the largest caseload area for every trial court is CRIM. And we need to focus on how we can work better with the trial courts in that area to manage the largest workload, whether you're a small, medium, large court. As I already indicated, we've been pursuing space consolidation to reduce costs. And the reason the result of that, I've noted, is to be determined, is because our Office of Court Construction and Management is working on an expedited basis right now. As many of you know, we have several floors in this building here in San Francisco. As we're downsizing our staff, we've identified an opportunity to move all of our staff and consolidate them on fewer floors in this building. Our hope is that we can give up at least one floor, if not more than that, and achieve about $1 million, $1.5 million in savings next year. Part of our challenge is, however, that this building was built by the state of California for the Judicial Council. In order for us to vacate a floor, we have the responsibility of finding a tenant to replace us, another government tenant to replace us. OCCM, I think, has worked, we're very close to finding some tenants, government tenants, that may want to move into this building, and that will allow us to achieve some significant savings next year. We also consolidated about 2 months ago our HR division and our trial court administrative services division. That allowed us to eliminate a director position. We're streamlining and simplifying our AOC budget. I am the first one to admit and acknowledge that our budget process is very difficult to understand. Kurt's got about 30 years of state budgeting experience. I've got about 6 years of state budgeting experience. And we have a difficult time wrapping our brains around the way our budget is managed. But as one of the council members said yesterday, you know, our process is a process that we've utilized and developed over a decade. And changing that kind of a structure takes a little bit of time. But we have already started working on that with Zlatko's assistance. And we hope to make some really, really good headway in that in the very, very near future to for transparency and accountability purposes, if you will.
And when we get into the budget briefing, which is the next item, Kurt, Zlatko, Jovi, and I will be talking about some of those initiatives where we're trying to make the budget easier to understand, with some consolidation activities, specifically with the improvement fund and the modification fund. So you'll get more on that in probably the next 20 minutes or so.
We have also initiated a master roster to track AOC positions. You heard yesterday that that was a challenge for the SEC. Our HR division does track all of the HR, all of our permanent positions, as well as our agency temp positions. The missing piece was the contract positions, which HR now has full control of. And we do have a master roster, and we're continuing to make significant improvements in that area. Ken Couch and his staff have been extremely instrumental in doing that. We're also, as you've heard, implementing layoffs. Our first set of layoffs was on June the 7th. This week, on Tuesday, we had our second set of layoffs, and we unfortunately will need to continue to do that to achieve our reductions next year. One thing I do want to note with regard to the reduction in our employees, This time last year, our executive team consisted of 17 people. At the end of this month, the 17 executive team will be reduced to 10. What that means is that the remaining 10 continue to absorb the work of the 17. For next year, one of the focus areas for the executive team, because of the severity of the budget reductions, will be everything is on the table, and at this point we will be looking at cutting programs and wholesale activities because in order to continue to manage the workload. This chart reflects basically the staffing and the workforce reduction. July 1 of 2011, which was the start of this fiscal year, the AOC started with 1,121 employees. That includes agency temps, Apple One temps, and contract employees, as well as our permanent staff. What this chart reflects is our contract staff has decreased from 124 to 77. Our agency temps has decreased from 136, which is very high, and we realize that, down to 64. Both of those will continue to decrease. And our regular staff has decreased from 861 to about 723. And as I indicated, that number will also continue to decrease as a result of the added budget reductions. This reflects what I've just indicated. July 1, we started with 1,121 positions. Our first set of layoffs occurred June 7th, brought us down, not just as a result of the layoffs, but also through natural attrition. We have staff who retired. We have staff who found other jobs. And we were down to 884 positions. Again, that's a total that includes temps and contractors. By the end of this month, we anticipate couple of days ago when I shared some of this information with the council, we were confident we would get by the end of this month to 864. I'm told by my team, who I'm very, very proud of because they continue to look at ways for us to reduce our workforce, that number will decrease at least by another 10, 11, if not more. And that was just in the last couple of days. So that brings us, you know, from July 1 to the end of this fiscal year, at a minimum, we will be down by 257 positions, which equates to 235 actual employees. And the difference there are the number of positions that we eliminated that had already been vacant. But 235 and growing, I think, is a very, very significant effort on behalf of the executive team. A majority of that occurred in the last 4 months. As I indicated, phase one, as we're looking at our reductions in the current year and the next year, we have to do it in a very thoughtful way. So we're doing it in phases because what we can't do is try to make wholesale changes in the organization, which I think could really put us in a lot of flux, and it'd be hard to pull together after that. And so we're taking a very thoughtful, deliberative approach in achieving our reductions. Phase one was our reorganization and layoffs that we've already completed. Phase two was our layoffs in the current week on Tuesday. The reason I have that in progress is because we don't have any certainty at this point in time about our CCMS wind down funding, and so we may have additional layoffs in that area. And phase three are our next steps, which is for budget year 12-13. And in phase three, we will be looking at finding ways to achieve our $15 million reduction, which we just learned about last week. We will have our continuing $13.4 million reduction. On top of that, the governor's May revise had a $4 million reduction to the courts of review and to the Judicial Council AOC. Our share of that $4 million is $1,063,000. So we're looking at roughly, when you add it all up, about a 35-40% reduction in the AOC budget. We will continue to restructure the AOC. I do need to share with the council the structure that you have that has been proposed by the SEC. I think is a very workable structure. There might be a couple of little tweaks that I would want to maybe propose just based on my understanding of this organization, but I think they did a great job with that. We'll also be taking into consideration as part of phase three our manager and staffing ratios. We fully realize that as we downsize the workforce, we need to take a look at our management structure. And we fully anticipate that there will be reductions in that area, and there already have been in several different divisions. And then lastly, our focus for Phase 3 will be to work with Justice Miller and ENP, along with all of you, in melding in the SEC recommendations with all of our reduction and restructuring efforts.
Thank you, Jody. Any questions or comments on Jody and Kurt's report? Thank you. Absolutely. We look forward to further updates.
Absolutely.